exclusive access to team events, and the ability to easily resell and transfer your tickets. And with a wide selection of party decks available, group outings are a great way for coworkers, team members, and organizations to enjoy an exciting night of baseball entertainment. For more information, stop by the Blue Wahoos Stadium ticket office or visit BlueWahoos.com.
Constitutional conservatism, individual liberties, and free markets. It's the Glenn Beck Show, weekday mornings on WPNN, Pensacola's information station.
Breaking news, thesowl.com. I'm John Scott. The latest statistics show high inflation has not let up. Shelley Adler reports.
Numbers from the Commerce Department showed consumer...
Hey, hello, Jim. Jim, are you there?
Yeah. Mitchell, are we all?
Hey, let's kick it off. We had a problem in the studio with the break. I don't know what happened, but it didn't kick in. And I'm going to pull Mike Sparks in right now.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Start recording if you need to, my friend.
Yeah, you got it.
Recording in progress.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Mike, if you could join 7 0 6 5 7 5 4 2 9.
Mike should be here, Jim.
He's not available. At the tone, record your message.
Okay.
My guy's answering machine. He'll call right back, I hope. Okay, I'll get him. Hold on.
Mike, I'm on the air now, okay? Join us if you can. Go through 540-352-4452. 540. Go. Try it again. Nick, it's a joy to have you here, my friend. I'm simply delighted. Mike Sparks is having trouble connecting with us today, but I want everyone to know this is a raw deal. Jim Fetzer, your host, where I'm joined by two experts today. Mike Sparks, who has extensive background in the military with both the Army and the Marine Corps. Mike has his own company to advise the Department of Defense on the type of military vehicle that will work best in a certain terrain. We advise them that in Iraq, it would be indispensable to use tracked vehicles, and that otherwise there'd be a vast number of American military who would suffer the loss of arms and legs. But a general who wanted to develop prostheses went ahead to use non-tracked vehicles anyway. This shows the kind of concern the American military has displayed for the well-being of our fighting men. And then, in addition, Nick Cullerston, the distinguished historian of science from the UK, who is a student of, among other subjects, the nature of just wars. So I want Nick here to comment on the situation, the geopolitical situation here, and talk about his new book on Ukraine, The Just War. I want to begin, however, with observations from the front. Namely, Zelensky pushing for victory on the first observance of the special military operation. Tears, defiance, and new tanks in Ukraine for war anniversary. Ukraine's leader pledges to push for victory in 2023 as he and other Ukrainians mark the somber first observance of the Russian invasion. Just a bit of comment about it. Ukraine's leader pledged Friday to push for victory in 2023 as he and other Ukrainians mark the somber anniversary of the Russian invasion that upended their lives in Europe's security, all of which, of course, was provoked by the West, endlessly expanding toward Russia's border, ignoring every legitimate national security concern the Russians raised, executing a coup in 2014 to depose a Russia-friendly president and impose a Western puppet, endless bombing of the Donbass, which led to thousands of deaths of ethnic Russians, Russian-speaking, Russian-friendly, where it appears the timing of the intrusion on the 24th of February of last year was precipitated by the necessity to preempt a major invasion that Kiev was about to undertake on the Donbass. Nick, absent. Mike's present here, unless we have him. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. Can you hear me, Jim?
No, I don't know why I cannot hear you. I cannot hear you on my...
Yeah, we hear you. Yes, Jim.
Okay, good.
Sir.
I'm here to give you the explanation from the U.S. military and what's going on.
Well, wait a second, because I've got to get something fixed here.
Okay.
I don't know why, Michael. I'm not getting the sound box, the reporting through the sound box pro. I can hear you on my headphones, but not where I should be hearing you.
Want me to hang up and call again?
Yeah, maybe you better do that. Try that, Mike.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll be right back.
Wait. Yeah, go ahead, Mitchell.
Oh, sorry. I'm just busy now. Can I ring you back later?
Nick's fielding a call, and I can hear his call perfectly, but I cannot hear yours.
Okay, we're adding Mike again.
Okay, cheers. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
Should I comment, Jim?
Mike, go ahead, talk. Give us your thoughts.
Okay, the U.S. military refuses to accept the reality that it is an artillery war in Ukraine. The U.S. military has favorites, and right now the people running the show are, I call them, light infantry narcissists, Linnies. And the Linnies think all wars can be won with just hand weapons and athleticism. Basically, World War One with a laser beam.
Hang on, Mike. Hang on a second.
World War One that, you know,
hang on,
artillery.
Mike. Hang on, Mike. Okay. Just a second. Nick. I know. I can only hear Mike through the headphones. It's very strange. I want you to hear every word he has to say. Mitchell, we got a problem here. We got a problem, Mitchell, because I can only hear Mike through the headphones. I'm not getting him through my speaker.
Huh.
And Nick cannot hear him.
Mm.
Let me see what I can do here.
Well, in World War One, we laid wire. We'd have field phones with wire. I should lay a wire to Wisconsin.
I know. This is unbelievable. Mitchell, I'm quite uncertain what to do here. Can I get you connected? If I can get you connected with Nick, then I think we can have a recording that works. But Nick, can you call the number for the studio?
How's your name? Call the number.
540.
What, on the phone?
Yeah.
What's America?
Yeah.
That's 001.
540.
Yeah.
352.
Yeah.
4452.
44. And who am I calling?
You're calling my producer, Mitchell.
Mitchell,
so Nick is calling in, and then we'll continue. We'll proceed from here. Situation is kind of bizarre.
No, he's unavailable, Jim.
Well, Nick, you got to try again here. He was just adding you. I believe he was just adding you.
Yeah, I had to call a couple times, too, to get through.
Could you please try again, Nick? Could you please try again? Yeah.
Well, what is the point of me phoning him up? I don't get it.
The point is to get your sound into the recording because right now I have you, but I don't have Mike, and this way I'll get you both.
Okay, give me the number again.
540-352-4452.
Mike, I'm trying to ring Mike, okay?
You're calling Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Nick, can you hear me?
I can hear you over the phone.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want you to hear me over the phone. Mike, go ahead now. I've got Nick on the video, but on the phone too. Go ahead, Mike. Give us your recap about the military.
The U.S. military right now is run by the light infantry narcissists, the Linnies. The Linnies think wars can be won on the ground with just hand weapons and athleticism, which is basically World War One with the laser beam. But in World War One, in open terrain, people were clobbered. They were turned into pink mist by artillery. The terrain in the Ukraine is the exact same as Western Europe in the World War One situation, which caused everyone to entrench, because exposed bodies to artillery are going to be exploded. And the light infantry narcissists refuse to use tracked vehicles out of a cultural hate for the people that use tracked vehicles, the heavy part of the army. They like to call them mech pussies because they're not as in athletic shape as they are with their HUA badges, which, you know, I'm all in favor of HUA badges, but let's use mechanical advantage. It took several years of millions of men dying in the trenches, going over the top, being exposed, destroyed by machine guns, artillery, helped by, you know, crisscrossing, you know, wire, barbed wire, before Edward Swinton, a combat engineer, whose great-granddaughter is the actress Tilda Swinton, okay? She and Winston Churchill, Lord of the Admiralty, I know, weird, right? Created the tank, the tracked armored vehicle, the tank, was created as a combat engineering solution to the riddle of the trenches, and it's why we won World War One. World War One was the deadlock was broken by the tank. Now, unfortunately, after the war, the people that were tankists, people that believed in tanks, unfortunately made themselves into their own branch, when I think they should have kept themselves as combat engineers that happened to provide transportation for everybody else, or cavalry, which Winston Churchill, as you know, was a cavalryman. He was in the last horse charge of the British Army at Omdurman. You know, it's in the movie Winston with Simon, what's his name, great movie. But anyway, the point is, the function is not understood. And right now, the people that do tanks, the mech pussies, have not been running the army since the Clintons took over and pushed wheeled vehicles for peacenicking, permissive peacenicking on us. And we've been pushing that as the advice to the Ukrainians, who I'm no fans of. I think they're pedophile Nazis. But the point is, from a military excellence perspective, in open terrain, you don't use wheeled vehicles. It's suicide. Airfield rubber tires are easily shredded by artillery in open terrain. They are dependent on roads and trails, which are predictable, and you can put a UAV, you know, man-made model airplane flying over the spots where the wheeled vehicles are going to have to traverse. They spot them. They target them. Read back the coordinates, the grid coordinates, map grid coordinates to the artillery, and then the Russian artillery incinerates everybody. That's what's been happening. The Ukrainians can't win. They've been losing thousands and thousands of men because of their qualitative inferiority that we, NATO, the light infantry narcissists, the Linnies, have pushed on them, this bad military malpractice that we've been doing ourselves, of the hand weapon light infantry narcissist jumping out of a wheeled truck. We've given it to the Ukrainians. They've been running with it, and they've been getting massacred.
Mike, it seems to me there's an additional consideration here, which is, as Secretary General of NATO Stoltenberg observes, the Ukrainians are consuming munitions faster than NATO can produce them. A recent assessment published by Mike Adams is that we've already lost a conventional war with Russia, because it would take a year to 2 years to ramp up American munition production with no munitions. We obviously are hamstrung. Would you add that that's a further consideration?
Well, of course. I was trying to say that the American ground forces, you know, the U.S. Army and Marine Corps, do not have a well-balanced view of the nonlinear battlefield. They have favorites they want to play, and they don't give a damn about artillery. So that's why we don't have thousands and thousands of artillery shells in stock, because we don't value them. We look down on people that are artillerymen. You know, we call them red legs It's supposed to be a compliment. But we look at them as pussies. They don't go to Ranger school. They don't jump out of airplanes generally. We have a pyramid of ego driving the U.S. military of narcissism. And in the top of the pyramid, you've got, you know, obviously three-star generals at the top. But, you know, the top of the follower class is, you know, Navy SEALs, Delta Force, Rangers, and even my paratroops are up there. And they all have this bias, except the paratroops. They know they need light tanks, and the Headquarters Department Army won't give it to them. But the point is that they are letting their ego drive what they do instead of battlefield objective physical reality.
Mike, you're talking about a romanticized version of combat that makes no sense compared to the reality. As a commissioned officer in the Marine Corps, I was trained as an artillery officer. And it turns out the overwhelming majority of casualties inflicted in warfare are done by artillery. So the idea of
when was the last time an artillery officer was commandant of the Marine Corps?
Mike, look, I'm not disputing the point I'm making is reinforcing what you're saying. Namely, artillery is a background of a military operation. And if you take out the artillery, you have hamstrung yourself into a feeble, weak version that is going to be incapable of fulfilling the mission.
Amen. I was just saying that to prove my point, when's the last time a commandant of the Marine Corps was a field artilleryman? The answer is never.
They don't make
a commandant, you know, from the field artillery part of the Marine Corps. And only one time in the Army, a field artilleryman, General Reimer, was, Army Chief of Staff. You see what I'm saying? The culture doesn't reward that style of warfare.
Mike, I want to, I take it we converge that Ukraine has basically already lost the war, that this was, of course, provoked by the West, that Russia did not want this war, but was forced into a situation where it had no choice. I want to bring in Nick to talk about the situation, because it seems to me, while it's being regarded as a calamity for the West, that in the overall balance of international law, justice, and relations between nations, the right party is prevailing. Nick.
Yeah. Well, could I just come in this intriguing discussion of military strategy? It seems to me this war is very uniquely focused on the emerging drone technology and the anti-drone jamming systems that that Russia apparently is doing rather well with, and it can apparently destroy up to 90% of the Ukrainian drones. And there is a problem how to have jamming technology working so you don't jam your own drones, and how to neuter these drones, which require electronic guidance to reach their target with pinpoint accuracy. So my understanding is that Russia is doing fairly well with this anti-drone technology, but nonetheless, it tends to mean that large battalions moving across the land are rather out of the question because of the way in which drones would just home in on them, and that small groups of soldiers are tending to be used, which don't so much activate the drone warfare. Would you confirm that at all?
Mike?
Yeah, the problem is that the open terrain is driving the situation. They're not covered in vegetation to hide in, so maneuver in the open has to be either armored to withstand attack, and it has to be camouflaged to evade detection. They refuse in the West to put multispectral camouflage on our vehicles so we don't glow from our heat signatures, because it looks like a chia pet when you're done. The U.S. military refuses to put camouflage, a multispectral camouflage, to protect, you know, for our heat signatures. So they're easily spotted from the air by drones and, you know, anyone that's got a thermal imager. So the thing is that even if you go into small groups of men moving, that's not maneuver. Those people can't hold the ground. The only way they could hold ground would be to dig in and burrow. and become World War One hostages. You know, basically they're getting pounded to death by the artillery, which can guess where they're at. In other words, if you don't know where the infantry is, because let's say they did put an infrared suit on, even if they did that, they can be anticipated because the Russians will say, we need this area here. And they will just flood the entire grid square with high explosive effects, terrain, firepower, saturation, as we call it. And if there's anyone that's there, it's going to get blown up, turned into red, pink mist, and exploded if they're vehicles. So they can anticipate where you're going to be by looking at a map. So basically, the Ukrainians have been given military malpractice from us that will not work in a combined arms fight in open terrain. It won't work. It could work if it's maybe close terrain.
Has the U.S. ever had more inept military and political leadership than we have today? To me, it's just embarrassing beyond words.
No, I have to say no. I was going to say 1939, but in 1939, we had people like Marshall and Eisenhower saying, look, we got to get fixed. And today, we don't have anybody except Colonel Doug MacGregor, retired, saying we got to fix it.
I just want to agree with what he said. We get wonderful words of wisdom from Colonel Doug MacGregor, and it's a shame that he can't be guiding these Pentagon types, telling them what's what.
Yeah, you could call them back to active duty. When you're retired, people don't know this, including the retirees, you're still in the military. When you're retired, you're getting reduced pay, reduced services. You're still in the Army or the Marine Corps, the Air Force, Navy.
Yeah.
You could call people retired. I know because I've had 90-year-old people get called back for Afghanistan to be doctors. There was one guy who's 98 years old or something like that, and he was called back to go to Afghanistan.
Right. Can I ask you about the border on the edge of the Donbass, where the troops are fighting, the line of a boundary? This has hardly moved for quite a long time, but when we gather people who say Russians are kind of winning, that a huge slaughter is taking place of the Ukrainian troops, even though we don't see the borders moving a great deal. There's something like an 8-to-1, you know, kill ratio, and that is what we mean by saying Russians are prevailing in this conflict. Would you go along with that?
Yes, a war of attrition. Yes, a war of attrition is taking place because what the infantry has done, Ukrainian infantry has dug in and said, you know, evict us. We'll die in place, but we're not moving. And the Russians don't want to invest their men to flush them out, you know, classic World War One trench clearing. So what they're doing is they're just bleeding the Ukrainians over time, waiting for the political plug to get pulled.
Yeah, people have thought maybe today on the 24th, the anniversary of Russia's going in, there might be some, you know, decisive move, but there doesn't seem to be anything very decisive happening right now, does there?
Well, there's one getting planned. If I was in charge, I would make a move west and just take Odessa and cut the entire southern half of Ukraine off from the sea. That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, now that's maneuver. What? But, you know, what I'm saying is that the U.S. military is culturally against armored track maneuver because we've got the guys with, you know, the Yahua badges running the show. And another question is, when was the last time you had a Top Gun-type movie made about drone operators? You know, being a drone operator doesn't get you laid. You know, it's not sexy.
Well, nonetheless, isn't it acquiring a quite central focus in this conflict, drone operating, in a way that we haven't really seen before?
It is. It's unexpected, but I got to give Ian Hogg, you know, the World War II guy that wrote hundreds of books. He's a friend of mine in England. Ian Hogg, you might know him. I just got done reading his book from 2000 called Artillery, and he predicted everything that you've laid out, which is what's been happening, the drones dominating the battlefield. He predicted it 23 years ago. He saw it coming.
I find it ironic. I find it ironic that Russia is buying these very successful drones from Iran, which Iran has in vast stockpile to use against Israel. And, of course, Beamy is trying to meddle again, as he invariably does, a grotesque figure on the world stage. But it seemed to me Russia has very astutely supplemented its arsenal with drones that were well designed by Iran. And the very idea that the West should complain that either Iran or China might join in assisting Russia in the war effort when all these NATO nations, including the U.S., are going all out to defeat Russia is simply obscene. I mean, the immorality, the hypocrisy, it is grotesque. Yeah. Nick, your thoughts.
Yeah, right. Well, would we agree? It's wonderful having a military expert to talk about these things, that the Russian army is well-trained, it's got high morale, and it's well-equipped. And also, it goes back for R&R after a bit to avoid undue trauma, whereas Ukrainians are just being pulled off the streets now. They're saying Kiev, they order a pizza. When the pizza boy turns up, they recruit him into the army, you know. And 16-year-olds, even 16-year-old girls and whatever, are being recruited. And so you've got an army without much morale. And when they come up to front, they're liable to last only about 4 hours. That's what people are saying. Would you confirm that at all?
Yeah, it's a well-stated. Only survive about 4 hours, Nick, is what you're saying. Yeah. Mike.
Yeah, it's what Nick is reporting is verified by all independent sources that basically they are overmatched in the artillery war. So the Russians don't have to maneuver and risk any of their men. They just anticipate where the Ukrainians will be, pour all kinds of fire down on that area with their, you know, military industrial complex, you know, mass producing shells, which, you know, obviously dates back to World War II. They realize, the German soldier might be superior to the Russian soldier, you know, at the qualitative soldier versus soldier level. But they said, doesn't matter if I'm going to just pour, you know, rockets, multiple launched rockets in flood grid squares with the high explosives. The heroism of the German soldier is irrelevant because I've just vaporized, you know, these guys by terrain, firepower, saturation. So the Russians have a non-romantic view of warfare that appreciates artillery. And so that's what they're doing. But I do think they are getting ready to do maneuver, the bold maneuver to finally sever, you know, the southern half of Ukraine.
Everyone says, we're saying that quite a long time. We're waiting for the big Russian initiative. Is it going to happen? You know, is there going to be a spring offensive? A few months ago, they said it was going to be a big winter offensive when the ice froze, when the ground froze. So let's wait and see that. But in the meantime, I mean, Russia has had experience, masses of being invaded by Napoleon, then by Hitler, and it knows that conflicts like this, its absolute survival is at stake. That's why the whole Russian people are rallying around the leadership at this war. They know the aim of this war is to destroy Russia. That's what would end up. What the West talks about victory, it doesn't just mean pushing, exterminating the Russian culture in the East, in the Donbass. It doesn't just mean putting American nuclear missiles on Russia's doorstep. It would go through to try and balkanize Russia. And I think Russians know this very well, that they're actually fighting in this war for their survival, whereas the West is just fighting with a quite bogus fake narrative. You know, it's trying to pretend Russia wants to occupy Ukraine, which it doesn't at all. It's Russia came in to rescue its own people, its 1,000-year-old Russian culture in the East, which has been deliberately exterminated ever since 2014, the Maidan, you know, the neo-fascist coup, started bombing its own people. So I think that the West is running on a totally false, fictitious narrative, trying to pretend that Russia wants to invade Ukraine for no reason and so forth. Whereas the Russians actually understand what's going on, that this is Western imperialism, this is NATO moving ever further westwards onto Russia's borders, Europeans may say, oh, NATO is a defensive alliance, you know, oh, we're not throwing anybody. That's what the zombie sort of Stoltenberg comes out with. Oh, we're not threatening anybody. But basically, there's a male fist of American hegemony and policy, which the neocons, who still dream of being, you know, masters of the universe, and they want America to be the unique top nation. They don't really believe in a multipolar world. So I think that is all what is at stake in this conflict. That's the way I see it.
No, you're seeing it correctly, but the thing that I say is to the globalists, then why did you destroy the American industrial base and turn American youth into selfish consumers obsessed with their cell phones in South Carolina to build a Boeing plant? And they were building the 787 Dreamliners. And the people there were all pot smokers. And they didn't give a damn about how the planes were made. If the rivets were off, they just drill a bigger hole and put a rivet in. The whole documentary on that. But basically, Boeing's reputation's been ruined. No one will buy a plane that's been built in the South Carolina plant. And so the globalists want their cake and eat it too. They want to dumb down the American people so that they don't think for themselves and have any common sense and can't do any reality check like 9/11, right? They don't have any physical reality experience.
Yeah, very few would know where Ukraine is, you know, if you ask them on a map. About 5% of Americans could locate it, is that right?
You're right, but the basic thing is they want their cake and eat it too. They want to dumb down America so we can't compete economically with China, who's more moral and stoical than we are. And so is Russia. They're more moral and stoical than us. And then they want us to be nihilist hedonists and lazy, and then we can't compete. But then they want to cheat and use the U.S. military to somehow prop us up as a superpower when
it's
not backed by the population.
Your point of view. Wonderful hearing your point of view. Why would you say that America cannot manage friendship with China or Russia? I mean, surely these great cultures just growing more and more powerful. Well, why is friendship not possible? But from, you know, I think Trump would want it. Why do you think that cannot be managed?
Because the pedo Illuminati, the pedophile Illuminati people, the eyes wide shut people, hate everything and anyone who's moral and stoical. All of this foaming at the mouth at President Trump is because he's moral and stoical. All he wants to do at the end of the day is eat ice cream and steak at the end of the day. He's not, you know, a pervert. He's not a hedonist. And they can't stand that. And so you can say, well, wait a minute. Well, how come Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi, shouldn't they be peaceniks because they're liberal Democrats? No, to prove that they're Illuminati controlled is how suddenly they become warmongers. Suddenly, Hillary hate Russia suddenly, and Pelosi's hate China. Let's back Taiwan suddenly, because they're both under orders by the eyes wide shut Rothschild, Rockefeller, Illuminati people. They were told the global war on terror wasn't bringing in the money we expected, and it's no longer the fear card that you can use on the American people. So we got to bring back the old standbys of Russia and China as the boogeymen.
Yeah, it's such a shame, isn't it? In England, there's no anti-war party. You know, all the political parties are competing about how much they hate Russia. And I find it so weird that I don't think the British people are anti-Russian. Surveys shown that a few years ago that the British people did not regard Russia as an enemy, you know. And now, in Europe, there's no country more pushing for World War III than the UK. Endless British black atrocity propaganda comes out and pushing us towards war, which the British people as such don't want, you know. So it's this terrible mid-Atlantic, what I call the axis of evil, US-UK military intelligence, that seems to be driving this, the people themselves don't want it, do they?
No, because the people are too many. In the eyes of the Illuminati, they want 7.59 billion people, 7.39 billion people eliminated. They only want 500 million left to be a servant class to them. That is their stated goal, Malthusian goal, that we're going to overpopulate and exhaust our food supplies as per, you know, Soylent Green is people. You know, 1973 sci-fi movie. But anyway, with Charlton Heston. But the point is, they want depopulation, and basically war has not been doing a good job for that. You know, in World War II, only 62 million people were killed.
Well, couldn't some peace party in America with Cynthia McKinney or, you know, Ron Paul or somebody who represent the people and say why we need friendship. We need friendship with Russia and friendship with China, you know.
Right. I mean, that would be basically you have to smash this idea of zero sum thinking. A lot of Americans, I'd say most Americans, are zero sum thinkers. They think that you can't have a good Russia and a good China and a good America coexist. They believe in a pyramidal or can only be one, just like out of the, you know, Highlander movies. They're zero sum thinkers. They think that if somebody gets success like China, they're having all this success making clever widgets that we buy at Walmart, right? They succeed, that means it diminishes from us. Now,
yeah, that's called imperialism.
That's
called imperialism when you think, like Rome, you know, ancient Rome, right? You think your system is the best, and it's the only one that's allowed, and anyone else has got to be beaten. And the British Empire, you know, took over that view, and the world's got to get rid of it. I think that's the recent China statement about America, which I thought was very good. It tells America, you know, you just got to give up this nightmare of imperialism, which the rest of the world doesn't like.
Right. It's not necessary. They're lying and saying that it's necessary for us to have a high standard of living, that everyone else has to have a low standard of living. That's wrong. The planet has more than enough natural resources so everybody can have a high standard of living, and we could be working together and colonizing the moon. And colonizing Mars and doing exciting things instead of fighting each other.
We could, yeah. You know, go to Mars together or something. Have a sensible action, the 21st century, instead of war, and channel the aggression and ambition into something like that, going into space. That's what I'd like to see.
Right. It's basically we're at our best when we're Little House on the Prairie. In my case, I'm saying little spaceship. On the new planet. That's when
I think there are two major reasons why there's no anti-war movement of any significance in the United States. Number one, when Nixon abolished a draft to take the wind out of the anti-war movement, relarded Vietnam, he eviscerated the connection between American families and the decisions of war and peace, because now parents no longer were concerned that their sons or daughters were at risk. So I think that was all too successful. It's a reason why I believe we need to restore the draft to re-effect that connection between American families and decisions of war and peace. But second, because the media is totally Zionist controlled because the Rothschilds own the AP and Reuters, they're not going to allow the media to report anti-war sentiment, no matter how massive it might become under fortuitous circumstances. So I don't think an incipient anti-war movement has a chance of getting off the ground. Mike and then Nick.
Yes, they saw the mistake of the Vietnam War having the drafty base of military soldiery blew up in their face, and they said never again. So in 1969, Nixon enacted the all-volunteer force. I call it the all-volunteer victim farce. Basically, the people that join the military are scoffed if they have any concerns about the quality of what we're doing. They say, you signed up for this. And of course, I didn't, and no one else signed up for it. And there's no fine print that says I signed up for a screwed up military that's wheeled and road bound and you know, all that. But the thing is, that's what the social contract is. Is that you volunteered for this? Now you have no right or place to condemn it or criticize it. Even if it's constructive criticism, my parents always said, if you criticize something, they're World War II generation, greatest generation. They said, if you criticize something, you have an obligation to say, look, this is how we need to do it better. But we don't have any of that now in our country and our social makeup. So you got Jordan Peterson, Dr. Jordan Peterson, and others like Congressman Zinke, saying we need national service. And I say, yes, we need the moral, stoical, character developing events, but it's not going to happen if you're in the urban center. You can't hunt and fish in the middle of Chicago. So what I think we need is 2 years of national service in a corps of your choice. It could be military, police, nursing, conservation corps, high-speed train corps, space corps, spy corps. Make our youth get out of their 25-mile radius of their home, get connected to physical objective reality, as Teddy Roosevelt said we needed to do, and become strong people, strong moral stoical people, which, of course, you know, the Illuminati don't want people that can think on their own. But the point is that's what we need to do to save our country, to have a base of people who are not going to go along with no-win wars for Wall Street that are more immoral and incompetently done.
Yeah.
So that's the answer. 2 years of national service would fix our country, even before we get rid of the Illuminati from, you know, Washington, D.C. control.
Right.
You know, that's what I call Plan B. And when Trump's election was stolen, we always said Plan B would be, you know, the Supreme Court of the states not ratifying the vote, Plan B and C, right? But that didn't work. So we had Plan D was somehow we evict the Biden and the those Illuminati from the White House. Well, that Plan D revolt hasn't happened. So I'm of the mind, and I've always been saying this since Plan D didn't happen, is Plan E. I think all of the red states should leave the country. You know, the federal government is based on this idea, Freemasonic, non-Christian idea, that everyone has a right to believe whatever the hell they want. And no society can do that. You've got to have at least a baseline of civilized behavior. You know, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't adulterate, you shouldn't be materialistic, covet, and you shouldn't lie. We can all agree on that, and that's not forcing religion down anyone's throat. But the Freemasonic people who formed our country, the 1787 experiment, has failed. Their experiment has failed. The Biden election seal proves it, and we need to start over. So I'd say all the red states, the moral stoical states, should leave the union and start a new constitutional states of America, make a real constitution that stipulates a baseline of morality, and make sure there's no loopholes so you can have secret society people take over the government. We need to do a better job.
Mike, I don't want to suggest that's a pipe dream, but in my opinion, there's no realistic prospect of that happening. Nick, I'd like you to comment on the morality of the geopolitics of Ukraine, because it seems to me all the arguments are on the side of Russia, none on the side of NATO or the United States.
Oh, okay, Jim.
Can you hear me all right?
I keep the phone up there by your mouth, Nick, better.
All right. I think that this is a just war in which Russia had no option. And we're getting an unprecedented fictional narrative which drowns out, prevents discussion and debate. The media all give this phony narrative, and that involves not saying, concealing the reason for this conflict, which you pretty well only get if you watch RT. For 8 years, the traditional Russian culture in eastern Ukraine has been bombarded with missiles, shells, and Russia showed amazing restraint in not coming in and trying to rescue them. And it showed this restraint because of Putin's dream of friendship with Europe. It was doing two things. It was building this world's longest pipeline, which is a pipeline of friendship, trust, collaboration between Germany and Russia. Billions of cubic meters of natural gas so Europe could get cheap, reliable energy. And at the same time, he had drawn up the Minsk agreements, which was a blueprint for a neutral, independent Ukraine, which was whole and at peace with itself. That was the point of the Minsk agreements. It gave guarantees to the people of the East that their traditional Russian culture would remain intact, even though they were within the nation of Ukraine. And it's just recently emerged that the people, Europeans who co-signed that agreement, were just being deceptive. All those 8 years, all that's happening was that NATO was training the Ukrainian army for a war which they planned was going to come. So it was a deceptive ploy of signing the Minsk agreements, letting Russia think that maybe one day they were going to be implemented and getting ready for a war. And then America reached this, from NASA's point of view, a moment of grave crisis. So September 2021, the pipeline was completed. This was kind of extremely alarming, if not terrifying, for NATO, because once that started to be switched on, NATO would become irrelevant. You'd have peace between East and West, or a beginning of peace and trust growing between East and West in Europe. Europe could become a continent of peace without needing the vast NATO military operations grinding on all over the place. And that became a crisis. Therefore, at the end of 21, as Seymour Hersh has recently revealed, a committee was set up next to the White House of CIA and Pentagon types to plan, could they destroy the pipeline? And they reckon they could do it, and they reckon it could be deniable. So this is a deniable operation. It's exactly the same way America did 9/11 and then denied that it had done it. Okay? So
can I add something?
It's an operation that was going to end. Technically, it's an attack, an act of war against Germany, because Germany had initiated the whole pipeline. Okay, so what happened next? Victoria Nuland then states in January, if Russia invades Ukraine, the pipeline will be destroyed. And that same month, President repeats that. Biden says, if Russia invades Ukraine, the pipeline will be destroyed. So as far as anyone knew, there was no plan of Russia to invade Ukraine. So what happens in February, this is a year ago, on the 17th, you get this massive increase, very sudden, in the bombardment of Ukraine. For about 10 shells a day, it goes up to 1,000 or so every day around the 17th. And there's a very swift sequence of actions then that America recognizes the little many states, Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhzhia, and they, as soon as they recognize, they appeal to Russia for help, say, we need you to protect us. So the Russian parliament then sits and ratifies that decision. That's on the 22nd. The 22-22, Russian parliament says, yes, okay, we'll go in. We're going to invade Ukraine to try and protect the East. And it does that on the 24th. So I think that is perfectly in accord with international law. And it realizes that everything the West has done has been deceptive.
Yeah, and, I don't see where Russia can have any trust or faith whatsoever in even the most solemn agreements with the West. I think there's no basis. It was all done in bad faith. It was the intentional deception of Russia to make Ukraine a massive fighting force, which is, of course, why it's taken so much longer than expected for Russia to prevail. Russia shall prevail, however, and I do not see any way, shape, or form Russia can ever take the word of the West seriously again. Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, I'd like you to go to this website called hisutton.com. It's called Covert Shores. He's an excellent open source guy, and he explains how underwater attacks are done, the current state of the art with mini submarines, swimmers.
All right,
which
yeah.
Which explains
yeah.
how the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up with plausible deniability. But the thing that the Russia had to do was push the Ukrainians out of artillery range of the Donbass. And unfortunately, that's only tube and rocket artillery. Missile artillery can be hundreds of miles away and still threaten. So Russia was put into a quandary of proximity, of self-defense, of proximity, that they needed a buffer zone, of artillery-free zone. So if China wants to help and be a peacemaker, they should propose a buffer zone between the Donbass, the new Russian republics, and Russia and Ukraine. And it would have to be 30 kilometers for tube artillery and 100 kilometers for short-range missiles. It's going to have to be a big buffer zone.
Yeah.
Or else, guess what? Russia's got every right to do what they're doing.
That is pretty well what the Minsk agreement stipulated. That was in the articles of the Minsk agreement, that if you've got any missiles 50 kilometers range, they've got to be kept that far away from the border and so on. So what you're saying, that was part of the original peace blueprint of the Minsk protocols, yeah.
In my opinion, Russia has no choice but to take all of Ukraine, to take it all back. Otherwise, they're going to be constant rear guard movements, guerrilla warfare, asymmetrical, all this nonsense will continue endlessly. So I believe that whether or not it may have been the original conception, Russia has actually no choice but to restore all of Ukraine to Russia. Mike.
I agree, because you have a situation where you have a military-industrial complex in the West that gets off on not only egotistically but economically on prolonging wars. They would get a kick out of the light infantry narcissists love this insurgent stuff. You know, dirty tricks, blowing up a bridge with a truck full of explosives. They love all that stuff. And so does the CIA. So they would love an endless insurgency. So, yeah, eventually the southern half of the country needs to be detached from the rest of Ukraine. But, yeah, they need to do a regime change in Kiev and have really elected governmental people taking over the country again. And then Russia would have, you know, the entire landmass of the Ukraine can't be used as missile launching posts.
Yeah. But I'll just point out that if they did have this buffer zone, they would, in effect, have the affluent, prosperous part of Ukraine is in the east. Great industrial area, huge wheat-growing areas. That is traditionally in the east that is now, as it were, Russian. And what would be left in western Ukraine would be just a kind of rump without much going on there, without much to support it. And what would be very likely is that Poland would then march in. Poland has some claims to part of that western Ukraine, so that would presumably move in, and they'd just be left a little bit of Ukraine, if you see what I mean.
Well, they asked for it. You know, basically NATO made a mistake. They wanted to act like Nazis, and they didn't make sure they had a blitzkrieg. They didn't have a military force that was well thought out that they could pull this stunt, this 1939 recreation, right? They tried to do it with light infantry narcissists in wheeled trucks, and it blew up in their face, literally. Military incompetence coupled with political evil.
Again, I say Russia is all on the good. Russia is pure in this. I see nothing Russia has done that was improper, that was in violation of international law, or was in bad faith. The opposite is to be said of NATO in the West. Nick.
Yeah. Well, you just think of what happened with Gorbachev. When the Warsaw Pact kept the peace in Europe for 30 years, right? All the years it existed, down through the middle of Europe, it kept NATO and Russia apart from each other and kept the peace. And once that dissolved, when Gorbachev was given the promise that NATO would not advance any further east, and the Russians felt that was very important, and on that basis, they dissolved the Warsaw Pact. And obviously, that hasn't been honored. NATO's moved right across. So Russia feels that is the first major betrayal. And then the Minsk agreements, you know, that word turns out to be worthless. And those who co-signed the Minsk agreements are kind of chuckling to themselves about how they never believed it and never meant any of it. So the West doesn't seem bothered by breaking its word in this way.
Go ahead, Mike. That America is permeated by this nihilism that you just get away with anything you can while you can, and you then couple that with the military-industrial complex that it's lucrative to racketeer war, and war is a huge racket in the United States, running the racket, as Oliver Stone says in the beginning of his masterpiece movie, JFK. And, of course, JFK was murdered because he wanted to end the CIA, which was instigating these wars for the military-industrial complex, which they're a part of. So you just have a situation where America hasn't come to grips with the fact that it had a World War II-created military-industrial complex that didn't want to put itself out of work or put itself out of business. We didn't want to stop doing World War II.
Yeah.
I think that's all very correct. And that when you have Angela Merkel admitting that there was never any intention to fulfill the Minsk agreement, I don't see how Russia can do anything other than assert its military power in order to stand up for its national security, which it's utterly entitled to do under international law and every ethical opinion that has ever reigned in terms of relations between nations, Nick.
Yeah. Well, in terms of what would happen next, I would say this year and next year we'll see increasingly rapid de-dollarization by other nations. I think with Saudi Arabia is now moving off the dollar for oil and giving options of to the yuan and the ruble. And I think once nations realize that it's safe to abandon the dollar, that will start to happen very quickly. As we all know, the U.S. Army exists in order to compel use of the dollar as the global currency, reserve currency. I think we're going to see that when people cease to use dollars, that will impact America and will hopefully give up this aspiration for world domination as America is less and less able to intimidate nations.
It's history repeating itself. The Roman Empire did the same thing. When they stopped being productive and started importing more purple silk from China, their balance of trade payments went out of whack, and their military power vanished.
Back.
They couldn't
back.
Keep their
hold
empire.
Hold that thought, Mike. Back with Mike Sparks and Nick Holerstrom right after this break.
All right. Hey. It's a bit pricey, Jim, having like this phone on all the time to America.
Oh. Can you connect via Skype? Can you connect via Skype? Can you connect via Skype?
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution
Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the quality of the conversation with Nick and Mike is simply superb. We're trying to get Nick onto Skype so we don't run up his tab across the Atlantic. I think we've got him at it. Nick, I believe you're now on Skype with Revolution Radio. Give us your further thoughts.
No,
I can't hear you. I cannot hear you.
It's set on available, Jim.
Set unavailable. It looked like you were adding.
Well, I thought I was. Let me try again.
If there's anything you can do to add him. Mike, go ahead. Give us some thoughts while we're trying to bring back Nick.
The world's greatest military strategist, Sun Tzu, a Chinese general, concluded, "What matters in war is victory, not prolonged operations, however brilliantly executed." The United States military-industrial complex does not operate according to that. We operate according to prolonged operations, not brilliantly executed. The prolonged operations were warned by President Eisenhower in his farewell address that the money made, making weapons would deprive the civilians of America of schools, railroads, trains, cars, hospitals, libraries. The people of the country would suffer from prolonged war, and Sun Tzu is warning to not prolong wars, the people will suffer. The 70-plus billion we have sent to the pedophile, not the Ukrainians, could have paid for a high-speed train system.
Go to my chat. Nick, keep going, Mike. I'm trying to get Nick to give me his Skype name. Go ahead.
So anyway, you have enough money in the Ukrainian war to almost complete a high-speed 200-mile-an-hour train system connecting the United States, which other countries like China has. So I wouldn't have to be doing a Skype call or a telephone call to you, Jim. I could hop on a high-speed train, and I'd be in Wisconsin in person in the studio with you. But as you know, the Illuminati don't want the sheeple to network like that, to have that powerful convergence of ideas. So we can compete and be better widget makers than the Chinese because they don't want us to get together. They don't want us on a high-speed train system. They want us killing ourselves on the unsafe highways, which were, mandated by the Rockefeller oil cartel to burn up and kill us 50,000 people a year in unsafe gasoline-powered cars and trucks instead of trains. At the end of World War II, Eisenhower administration, obviously 1953, acting on the orders of the Rockefeller Illuminati, de-emphasized trains and started emphasizing the personal automobile with the national highway system which they claimed would help during mobilization for war. But really, the motivation was obviously to enrich the Rockefeller oil racket even more, and to also kill Americans. The best and brightest of Americans would be getting killed in car and truck accidents, collisions, in an unsafe, inefficient way of moving across a 3,000-mile across nation and 1,000 miles across deep landmass. It's stupid the way Americans move inefficiently and unsafe, and the Illuminati want that. So the money we wasted just from this Ukrainian frothing at the mouth, rabid expression of a vendetta against Putin and anything that's moral and stoical, is could have paid for that high-speed train system. The Chinese, for instance, know how to raise a high-speed train system very quickly. They can make like 10 miles a day. They have it down to a science, you know, raising the ground so animals don't, you know, cross over into the tracks and lay down the bedrock. And then, you know, you can see videos of how they do it. It's amazing. It's because they're more moral and stoical than we are. So you cannot, as a nation, prop yourself up as a superpower if your population isn't altruistic, it isn't virtuous. You can't just prop us up by thuggery. Military thuggery is not going to make us make better widgets than the Chinese do, you know, for sale in our Walmarts. The only way we're going to make better widgets is we got to start being ourselves better, stronger, more moral, stoical people. You know, I'm an inventor. I've got all kinds of inventions, and I can't get any traction or help from people. And I'll give you one example. You know, when you hand sanitize, you don't always have a hand sanitize station. So I figured you need to have a belt pouch to hand sanitize. None of us pull the little hand sanitizer bottle out of your pocket, open it up, squeeze it, put some in your palm, clean your hand, close the bottle up, put it in your pants pocket. Ain't happening. So the answer is a pouch, right, that has a little Purell hand pump, 2-ounce bottle, $1.29 at Walgreens. And you just hit that button, you got the goo, you hand sanitize. And, you know, the only way you can get that is if you order the plastic Kydex pouch for $20 from, you know, advancedretention.com. And put it together yourself. In other words, when it should be for sale, you should be able to go to Walmart right. or, you know, any store and buy this already put together for you. Just put it on your belt.
Mike, I just need to get a message to Nick. Nick, just call that same number on Skype and you'll be connected. The same number you called in on your home phone, call in on Skype and we'll be good to go. I can't hear you. If you go ahead and call in on that number on Skype, just go to your Skype and put in the number, and it'll work. Check your chat. I have put all the information you need right there in chat, in chat. Mike, go ahead and continue.
If you go to my BitChute channel, which is DynamicPara007, you will see how-to videos on the thing I just described, that belt sanitizer thing. Other things you can do to prevent your house from burning down, which is you can get a coupling device to your faucet in your sink, and every sink in your house could have a coupler to add a garden hose and a firefighting type nozzle. And if your fire develops in your wooden frame house, you can put it out immediately, because in my neighborhood, two houses have burned down in the last 2 years, one of them fatal. By the time the fire department got there, it's too late. The house is fully engulfed, and the guy's dead, or whoever's inside is dead. You understand what I'm saying, Jim? Another racket is the wood frame house racket. It's unsound to live in a wood frame house. I'm sorry, that's just the truth. So it's also unsound to wait for the fire department to get there. All they're going to do is make sure the fire doesn't spread to another house. They're not going to save your house. So you need to. Every house needs to have a sprinkler system because they're 100% effective. But you're not hearing any pushback from the firefighters, I'm sorry, firefighters, telling Congress to mandate every home that's built should have a fire fighting sprinkler system to stop fires from even happening, because that get put them out of work. Firefighters would be less needed. There'd be less need for fire departments, which isn't true, because there's still industrial buildings that need firefighting. But That's not how they're thinking. They're not pushing to put sprinklers in every home. So if you can't do it, you know, then you should do it yourself, DIY, by getting that coupler you can get on Amazon that goes to your faucet and attach a garden hose and a firefighting nozzle and be ready to put out your own fire. You understand what I'm saying, Jim? The entire way the United States of America lives is unsound. It's not driven by the best practices or the best way of doing things by the brightest minds. It's being run by racketeering. Racketeering likes to keep problems in play. Of course, I wrote a book on this, and it's for free. I'm not trying to sell a book. You just go to combatreform.org/capital racket theory v6.0.htm. And I wrote a whole book when I realized that war is a racket, like General Smedley Butler said. But guess what? War is not the only racket. Human beings have a bad habit of keeping problems in play because it's more lucrative to keep things fucked up than it is to solve them and move on. And I'm saying let's solve the problem, move on. Let's go conquer space and colonize space. Let's do something new. We've done this war thing for years. And it's frankly getting old, and I'm a guy that's into war. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just the same old, same old. You know, people not realizing the battlefield, so they get hurt. Thousands of people die. The reformers come to power. They invent a tank or they invent some kind of way, a formula for success. The success formula works. Then it's forgotten. The reformers are kicked out of power, and we go back to the same old, same old. It's, you know, the cycle of human racketeering continues. We haven't learned from history. We don't learn from history. We need to. And in this case, the American people don't understand that there's a counterfeit form of doing things, which is bureaucracy, that racketeers problems, and it makes them think the problem's being solved by experts when really the problems are being milked by racketeers, you know, parasitical people. And so the American people need to stop being lazy and turning the functions over of society to bureaucracy. They need to get personally involved and realize that the best way to do something is to do it yourself and start with 2 years of national service and get involved. The 2 years of national service would be followed by reserve status. Let's say you're a civilian conservation corps firefighter, right? You would still be in reserve status after your 2 years learning how to fight forest fires. You could be called back to active duty if there's like a big fire in the West. So you'd be a reservist. So for your entire life, you've got more of a focus than just, you know, consumerism. You'll be a fire reserve firefighter. You'll be a reserve high-speed train conductor. You'll be a reserve spaceman. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah, and it's exciting and it's fun. It's going to have to be mandatory, though. The young people are not going to want to do it. And this is a case where the nation state has coercive powers where it would be in good faith to say, sorry, son, daughter, you need to do 2 years of national service to give back to the country that you is given so much to you. You'll earn respect of your elders. You'll be a better person, and you'll thank me later when $50,000 in your bank account after you're done to launch you in life. They'll thank you later, but we've got to have some tough love and say, look, punk, you don't need to be in a street gang. You need to be in the Space Corps, or you need to be in building high-speed trains. You're going to see this mortal life, and you can have a peer group that loves you, and it's team effort. There's a better way of doing this than what you're doing, you know, just driving around, finding something to shoot at.
Mike, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. By the way, Jeff Retz has a guy who's quite brilliant, Yoshi Shimatsu, who believes that based on a chemical analysis of the ingredients of what happened in East Palestine, that actually this was destined for use as a biological or chemical weapon on Poland in order to blame Russia to justify NATO insurgency. Now, I think that's a fascinating hypothesis. On the other hand, it appears the derailment in East Palestine was deliberate. We had a Netflix film last year called White Noise that was describing a railway calamity in which chemicals were released in the vicinity. They even had residents of East Palestine who were extras on the movie. Plus, the CDC revised its final chloride handling methods within weeks of this event. Plus, members of East Palestine were given free watches that are biological analyses of their bodies and whether or not they're having difficulty with respiration, with breathing. Plus, Mike DeWine, the governor, appears to have long ties to the railroad industry. So what I find undermining his hypothesis that this was destined for Poland as a part of a false flag is all the evidence we have that it was supposed to happen right in East Palestine and happened right on schedule. Your thoughts?
Thanks for informing me about that White Noise revelation of the method. Basically, you're talking about James Bond is real. The whole reason why I wrote James Bond is real in 2011 is to alert people that these dirty tricks and conspiracies you see in the movie and the books by Fleming are warnings in code about what the Illuminati does. And Robert Morningstar, the JFK researcher, you know him, just revealed that he discovered that the original James Bond books by Commander Ian Fleming, who was also working for MI6, SIS, in the Information Research Division to, you know, prop up the image of MI6 in light of the Soviet Cambridge 5 spy scandals. In other words, James Bond is a propaganda effort by them. James Bond is also used by Fleming to put these hints in, and Morningstar found that the original books are different from the James Bond books you buy now. They have redacted and censored key parts of the books because Fleming was revealing too much. And, of course, you know Jim Mars. He was on your show many times. He's unfortunately passed away. Jim Mars told me it's his conclusion that Ian Fleming was murdered on the eve of the Warren Commission to keep him quiet from alerting his James Bond global audience that the Warren Commission's a whitewash. And the guy, Christopher Fulton, I hope you've read his book, The Inheritance, describes how easy it is to take concentrated nicotine and put it into your bloodstream by touching your neck to kill somebody and give him a heart attack. So Ian Fleming died in 1964 suddenly from a heart attack on a golf course. Mars's conclusion is that he was murdered by the CIA. And if you read The Inheritance by Fulton, you'll see that Fleming and JFK were tight. And Morningstar says that. He says that JFK had every James Bond book from Fleming to date when he was murdered by the CIA in the group ambush. But the point is that if you read Fulton's book, there's insights there that Morningstar doesn't adopt into his thinking. And of course, Fulton doesn't read Morningstar. So I went ahead and just made a video on BitChute. Sorry, Morningstar, I'm tired of your crap. You got to tell the world what you find, you know, and stop holding it together like I'm smarter than you, you know, a JFK researcher. So anyway, I found out about Morningstar's revelations on JFK, you know, including, you know, everyone knowing that Oswald checked out all the James Bond books. You know, that's red herring diversion. But the point is that there is people – you know, are people like Fleming trying to warn us? And there is also this revelation of the method thing, which I discovered in the Friends TV show, that they stopped showing the World Trade Center in the B-roll footage of the skyline of New York 5 months before the 9/11 attacks. And then 2 years before, Phoebe, one of the characters, says she wants to be an airline pilot. And Chandler says, well, that's great. You'll need to find people then whose New Year's resolution is to die, plummet to their death, which is exactly the official narrative of the 9/11 attack, right, which is a false flag attack. And it also explains what would happened is that I believe people like Barbara Olson faked their deaths, used their names as passengers in the registry to make it look like the planes were filled and there were no planes. The only evidence we have is explosions went off. And maybe an airplane flew into the North Tower because, as you know, the French filmmakers were suddenly,
for some strange reason,
pointing the camera at the North Tower.
Mike,
I've
done a huge amount of research on the 9/11 aircraft, and all four of the crash sites were fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. Two of the planes, 11 North Tower and 77 Pentagon, were not even in the air that day. And the other two, 93 Shanksville and 175 South Tower, were tracked by pilots for 9/11 Truth, who established that the Shanksville plane was over Champaign-Urbana after it officially crashed in Pennsylvania, and that the South Tower plane was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it officially hit the building. And I tracked down FAA registration records that showed the aircraft, the physical aircraft used for those two flights, were not even deregistered or formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how could planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how could planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? It was all monstrous bullshit scam with Hollywood special effects, Mike. Embarrassingly bad.
Yes, sir. And I agree with you 100%. You can go to my website, webpage, you know, combatreform.org/ Ted and Barbara did 911.htm, and it reiterates exactly what you said. But the problem socially at the macro big picture level is that the truth is not being verified in this modern era of mass communications like it used to be in the past, which is two witnesses in court, sworn statements. If they lie, they go to prison. We don't have any truth verification anymore in our society. Our culture is not verifying objective physical reality in any way. You know that better than anybody else. You paid the heavy price. I'm not going to even say it. You know what I'm talking about, for questioning the official narratives. But the problem is the American people, with lacking of 2 years of national service, unlike you and I who've done military service, we know how things happen, how things are done, and we can see through a rat, shoot through camouflage. We can do it. The American people, the majority of them, can't. They are so narrow-mindedly focused on their cell phones that they are out of touch with physical objective reality, and they're not questioning complex, dirty tricks like you're saying, which is happening as we speak right now. The centers of chemical gravity, which would be plants that make chemicals, railroad cars, which have obviously been rusted and decaying for years because of lack of emphasis in our country, are being sabotaged. It's obvious, you know, first time is coincidence, second time is happenstance, third time is enemy action, as Ian Fleming said, right? It's obviously enemy action. So you got to say, what the hell is the Department of Homeland Security? Obviously, you know, I don't believe in them. What are they doing after these three times already or more of chemical attacks on the country? It's obviously enemy action of some kind. Have they taken any action to guard our rails, our rail hubs, inspect our cars, put temporary security around chemical plants? None of this is going on. There's no pushback. And the sad truth is, I believe that we've had a moral collapse with the Biden election steal. And frankly, most people just don't give a shit anymore. They stopped caring when Biden stole the election and nobody pushed back.
Mike, I think you got it exactly right. I want to let everyone know we're going to open the phone lines after the break at the bottom of the hour. The number 540-352-4. So you can ask questions. I'm really sorry we lost Nick, who had so much to contribute here. But, you know, they're challenging me to stay on the air, and I'm doing my best. In any case, we'll take calls, 540-352-4452. Mike, I don't think NATO could deal with Russia, even if there were a justification for its intervention, whether it were real or fake. Your opinion?
Well, of course. Yeah, I agree with you because of them. Techno-tactically, NATO is messed up. because all of the militaries are driven by narcissism, and the light infantry narcissists have taken over all of the Western military. They're in love with wheeled vehicles, Jim. I mean, it's just absolutely stupid. We're trained in the very beginning, stay off the roads. I mean, what happened to that? Wisdom. The roads are easy way is ambushed. Yeah, but they just got into this sexy appeal thing that I want to look different from the past, which is a disrespect. It's saying that the people that came before us were dumb and I'm smarter. Well, I'm sorry, planet Earth has not changed. So in my military calculation, I believe that there's always the battle against the Earth, the baddie, needs to always be factored in before you even look at the battle against man. How are you going to fight the enemy? But you got people, the Boydians, Colonel John Boyd, who did the OODA loop, Observe, Orient, Decide, Act guy, is faulty. He says that we're going to outfight the enemy because we're going to be in a bubble canopy F-86 and he's going to be in a narrow canopy MiG-15. Well, guess what? John, Colonel, sir, someone had to make the F-86 in the first place. North American Aviation, the P-51 and the bubble canopy, continued that with the F-86. Somebody had to do that. And they don't want to do that. The Boydians think that all you need to win war is think faster than the enemy. Well, you can't do that with a broomstick. Okay.
Mike, hold that thought. Hold that thought, and we'll take your calls when we return from this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So the phone lines are open. Mike and I will, of course, continue our conversation. But if you want to call in with a question, 540-352-4452, and Mitchell will field your call. Mike, I think you've gotten a masterful critique of the state of the American military, that we're inept, we're ill-prepared. We really are suffering from forms of delusion that make America incapable of fighting a serious war. I think that we place excessive reliance on ICBMs, and if the time comes, the whole world is going to be turned into a massive ball of ash. So, you know, the inmates truly are running the asylum.
Right. And the deal of military degeneracy, you know, Western military thought, you know, degrading, is sadly driven by personalities. Basically, the World War II generation knew how to combine arms, didn't have an ego. They said if we could smoke screen a town and take the town by surrounding it instead of going house to house, room to room, an ego gratifying room clearing, they would do that. But we don't have that in the aftermath of World War II's generation dying off, sadly. People like Ian Hogg aren't around anymore, and people aren't reading their books or watching their videos if they were smart enough to do it like oral history. The younger generation is just full of themselves. They're in the military for narcissistic reasons. You know, I've been guilty of that myself. But the point is that you've got to respect what happened in the past from an objective physical reality point of view, and stop looking at everything like in a timeline. Mm-hmm. How many times has the Earth went around the sun? Oh, that vehicle was made in 1960. You know, Earth revolutions around the sun, 1960. And now we're in 1998. And we've revolved more around the sun. And suddenly the planet Earth's laws of physics and the ground crust is going to change. And high ground pressure, 30 PSI plus, airfield rubber-tired armored cars are going to suddenly not break the crust and get stuck in mud, just because the Earth has went around the sun more times. You see what I'm getting at? You don't have professional military thought in the West.
Go all the way back to the conversion from the Jeep, where we had millions and millions of Jeeps, all kinds of components. We knew what the hell we could do with them. They were the most versatile vehicle we had in the military. And we cash them in for Humvees. I mean, Mike,
yeah,
that was
tell you directly about that.
That was such a grossly corrupt act right by itself, just to make new money. That was all it was about.
Let me answer that. The guys that did that were the light infantry narcissist community. They had a choice. The end of the Vietnam War, the lesson we learned was the armored personnel carrier tracked, M113. We call it the Gavin because General Gavin created it to make it sexy so people will buy it. But the armored personnel carrier was known at the end of the Vietnam War as our only success story, that it was the minimum standard for cross-country mobility and armor protection starting point. That was the answer. And the light infantry narcissists, the Linney, the light fighters in the Army said, no, we're not going to give everyone APCs. We're going to supersize the Jeep, make it wider so it doesn't turn over. Voila, you get the Humvee, which is not a concerted, you know, unified armored body that could withstand anything. It's a metal frame. There's nothing to work with. and it's on Airfield rubber tires. And they did it just because of the fashion sense. They didn't want to be look like the mech pussies. The guys in the heavy units don't have the HUA badges, so they don't want to look fat and out of shape with the armored personnel carrier. Even though it has a rear ramp and door, you can. No one's holding you inside the armored personnel carrier. You can get out and fight on foot when it's necessary. It's not going to turn you into a fatso. But they don't look at it like that. They're looking at it in vanity. And they said, we're going to have Humvees. We're going to replace the Jeep, which is prone to turnover, with the wider Humvee, which still turns over. You know why? Because people don't get enough sleep in the military. We tell everyone to be there at 8, which means you got to be there at 7, which means you got to be wake up at 6. You get off work, so to speak, from the Army every day at 5 p.m. You go home. You want 7 hours at least of light, civilian life, to decompress, which means you're not getting 6 to 8 hours sleep every day. So more people are killed in the U.S. military from sleep-deprived accidents than enemy action.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
So I mean, if I were chief of staff in the Army, I could fix the Army in 30 days or the Marine Corps. You give me 30 days, I would fix both organizations completely. The first thing I would say is everyone reports for duty at 8 in combat gear, not 1 minute sooner. And none of it's BS dressing in sports attire PT. We don't go to war in shorts and T-shirts. You know, we all like it. It's fun. You look good. Guess what? It has nothing to do with war fighting. So that's the first thing I do as chief of staff of the Army. The PT test is a ruck march for time. You know, 12 miles for time. The goal is 6 miles an hour. You know, speed march capability, 30-pound rucksack, full combat gear. Yeah, there's this silliness they're doing in the Army now. You don't know how silly they've gotten. They've got people throwing tail bowels, you know, those giant metal balls with a handle. They got that now as part of the PT test in the Army.
What in the world
all day
for?
Doing this. It beats the hell out of me. I guess you're going to throw a giant 30-pound grenade at somebody. Not. It's the physical fitness people of the Army got a hold of the PT test that turned it into a circus. Oh, yeah. That's what happens when you don't have a professional military. When I mean professional, this is mean, but you've got to get people in the military who don't want to be in the military, that have common sense, that know they're adults. Their ego is not dependent on HUA badges. You know, I'm guilty of that myself, but in Beret or Eagle Globes and Anchor, you got to get some adults in there and say, look, this is stupid. I know I'm an adult. This is stupid. Stop doing it. You got to get those kind of people. Which I think this one guy said they called them Georges. You got to get these guys that have common sense adults with self-esteem, already have their own self-esteem. They don't need the military peer and organizational acceptance to have esteem. You got to get these people in the military.
Well,
because then they can say no to stuff, and they don't get these romantic ideas like you were correctly surmising that we have about war.
Mike, the military has gone woke. I mean, who the hell wants to join a military with transgenders in the military? I mean, this is so stupid. I cannot believe.
Oh, no, that's just another layer of it. Yes, I was just telling you the functional disconnect that took place in the 80s and 90s. Now you're talking about the cultural disconnect driving it even worse with this reinvention of society's norms being put into the military, which is always needs to be austerity, needs to be ascetic and self-sufficient. Just from the basic idea of being in the military is that you're at odds with nature, the battle against the earth, which can kill you. More people have died from disease than gunfire, right? But then the enemy too. So you're divorcing yourself from Walmart to go to war. And then you're also fighting, you know, whoever you're fighting, which could be really a guy who doesn't have a lot of our stupid ideas. He could be deadly efficient. So you don't understand. We don't have time for this purple hair transvestite stuff. You know, just from a functional perspective.
And then vaccine the military when the vax is bringing about horrendous harm and death. I mean, another colossally stupid decision. I have no faith in our military, and of course, the Biden administration is out to destroy America, and they're making no bones about it. Mike, it's just, to me, profoundly disillusioning that the country has just turned into a massive steaming pile of shit.
It is because of racketeering and mad faith, you know, malfeasance coming from the Biden administration, you know, coming from the Illuminati, of course, globalists, you know, the Great Reset, which I call the hate upset. The hate upset people, you'll own nothing and you'll love it. Oh, yeah, right. We'll start with you. But anyway, the point is that these guys are evil and they're running the show. And then the people at, you know, the bottom, I hate to say it that way. The sheeple are not pushing back at all because they've been emasculated over time and, you know, obviously put into a sleep condition. Jim Viking would talk about that, as you know, the sleep hypnosis that occurs when you're watching broadcast TV and listening to broadcast radio and now, of course, the Internet. So you've got all these dirty, dirty tricks being done on the American people. And you've got to just say, look, you just got to break away from it. So you got the preppers saying, let's go off grid and just tune out just so we can get our heads straight. But, you know, there's only so much that will do. It's not going to change the course of the nation. You know, your local community might be got their head straight, but the Biden administration is trying to drag us into World War III with Russia. They want the depopulation of 200 million Americans. Right now, America is the third largest country in the world population-wise after China and India. I think we got 330, right? So they want 200 million of us to go away. That's a staggering amount of evil.
We've got a caller. Shelley, join the conversation with Mike and me. Your thoughts.
Hi. I just want to ask Mike what he thinks about the Michigan State shooting, because I'm in Michigan, and it's really worrisome because they have about 15 bills now in the legislature that they're getting ready. Yes. So I just wonder what both of you think about
it. The police work is behind the times. The American police community do not understand that people can be hypnotized against their will to commit crimes, to include shooting people. So what should have happened is at all costs, you don't kill the shooter or shooters. You bring in a trained psychologist to look for signs that they were brainwashed into doing it. None of that has been happening to any of these mass shootings. You understand? We're behind the times of reality, of criminology. And, of course, we have to make that decision. If somebody's hypnotized against their will and they could kill a bunch of people, are they morally responsible and should be punished for what they did when they really didn't do it? What do you think of that? What's your opinion on that?
Shelley, let me just add,
by the way,
I've looked into a whole lot of these shootings, and again and again, they're all staged, phony, fake. That appears to be the case to me for Michigan State. The campus is sprawling. He wouldn't have known how to go from place to place. I have 35 years in higher education. Nothing about this story makes any sense. What happens is when the Democrats have a bill they want to push, they fake an event to give it temporary publicity to make it difficult for those who otherwise would vote against it to vote against it. So, yeah, Shelley, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. And then Mike.
No, I just wanted to add that Whitmer's middle name is Esther. So I think that gives you a clue.
She's a disgrace. That woman should not be in office. And it's only because that Democrats have rigged the voting machines that you have people like her in office. Similar for Gavin Newsom. Similar, of course, for the guy who calls himself Joe Biden. And I say that even though the American people understand that we're being screwed by our own government and they have voted to put the Republicans in, it's made no difference because the Dominion voting machines, whose motto is changing the way you vote, keep them in office. They change the Republican vote to Democrat. It's that simple, really. And therefore, it seems to me until we can get rid of electronic voting machines until they're banned, rendered illegal, and we return to paper ballots and hand counts, we don't have a prayer.
Right. Stalin said he doesn't care how you vote.
Go ahead, Shelley. Go ahead.
Oh, I really just like to listen to you, but I do think I haven't really been watching the reports because I don't think they tell the truth about anything that's really happened up there.
Right.
And so I really don't know who the man was that killed people, and I don't even know if people were really killed. I really don't know what happened up there because.
Right.
But everybody here is really upset about it. Everybody's very, very upset about it. They will not entertain that there's something else involved. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, I've offered a solution before on other Jim Fetzer shows, Dr. Jim Fetzer shows, which is a grand jury of the United States. If there's some kind of national event of national importance that's suspicious, the grand jury of the United States would come in outside, hopefully impartial and objective, good faith people, and get to the bottom of these things with perjury powers. In other words, subpoena powers. They could go in there, call people in, and make statements under oath. And if they lie, they go to prison. So to stop events like this, instead of letting the local yokels investigate and prosecute.
Our judicial system is so corrupt. This investigation into Trump down in Georgia, the jury forewoman has been going around the country, and she's daffy as a duck. She's a complete lunatic. And she's talking about how she can't wait to serve Trump with a subpoena. It's a joke. It's a mockery. We have no judicial system, no law enforcement. Everything has been weaponized. It's a damnedest situation far beyond my imagining that the United States could ever sink to this level.
Jim, do you know that that we are not a inquisitory judicial system. We are an adversarial judicial system. This is John Adams doing. He made it so that you don't find out what happened first. You find somebody to blame and get this you versus them, prosecution versus defense thing going. Binary. What happens if what happened had nothing to do with anybody? You just first have to find out what happens. Other countries have inquisitorial judicial systems. They first find out what the hell happened. And we can't do a damn thing because we have to have a W. Bush to prosecute. They won't do 9/11 investigation because we first have to have a target, somebody to blame. That's BS. You first have to find out what the hell happened, right? That's where the grand jury of the United States would come in. They find out what the hell happened first. And then call people in and, put them under.
All the commissions of the past, the Warren Commission, 9/11 Commission, January 6th and all that, have been elaborate cover-ups. They've been basically distorting the facts. And now the Democrats are shitting bricks because Kevin McCarthy has given some 40,000 hours of video from January 6th to Tucker Carlson. And I have no doubt Tucker will do a responsible job of reporting. We already know that he was using flashbang and they were firing on the civilians, the FBI. There were perpetrators there. It was grotesque. The American people haven't been given the least inkling of what actually happened on January 6th and how they were set up for a big con.
Yes, it's a big con to basically demonize any opposition to their illegal election steal. It's guilty demeanor all the way. And again, it comes down to the American people. This, you may not like what I'm going to say here, Jim, are anti-intellectual. The American people are descendants.
Mike, I agree completely. I know.
Okay. The American people are descended from the Wagoneers. They're descendants of the people that covered wagon, went across the country. And our background is the movie Paint Your Wagon. If you ever see that movie, that's the American Wild West. And the American people, we're descended from those people who are not deep thinkers. They can't see through camouflage. Like one of the best things of the movie, the movie miniseries, Band of Brothers, that I learned is that the World War II generation knew to shoot through cover. You don't wait for the Nazi soldier to show up. You shoot at the bank of the river with the bushes where the enemy would be. you got to shoot through cover and start a base of fire before you try to maneuver. Well, the American people don't know that. They only act on obvious things. Only if there's a guy and he shows devil horns do they act on it. They don't understand evil can be camouflaged. They don't. They're just not able to hold more than one thought in their head at a time. And I'm sorry, you can raise your IQ. So I'm not being a snob here. Everybody could raise their IQ at least by 10 points. But we got to have a society that's intellectually curious about the world, and we've got to encourage thinking, not making it homework, a chore. It should be a joy. I want you to go find out about George Washington Carver and what he did with peanuts. Don't make it a chore. Make it fun. Then when we're done, we'll go to a museum where he did his thing. You know, make school and learning fun. But they have deliberately made school and being an intellectual nerdy. You're going to wear a pocket protector. You're not going to get any chicks. You're not going to get married. You're not going to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You're going to be a loser if you think. And that's what the Illuminati have done when our culture has made being a dumb shit glorified. You know, they want people to be big muscles or big bosom and tall, and they don't value thinking. The American people just don't value thinking. I can't tell how many people that roll their eyes when they listen to this conversation we've had. I can speak from direct experience. Someone's already rolled their eyes. They just can't face the fact that evil can be organized. I mean, good people are organized, so why can't evil people be organized? Just the basic conspiracy reality. Every day, sure, all across the United States, people are convicted, prosecuted, convicted, and put in prison for conspiracy. The Angie Dickinson show, I like her, nice body, right? Angie Dickinson show, she was in the anti-conspiracy unit of the LAPD. You know, of course, I'd watch any unit she was in, but she was an anti-conspiracy unit in Policewoman. So suddenly they realized, oh, we can't have the C word. The CIA in 67 said we got to demonize the conspiracy word. And now the American people have bought into it. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, you're a conspiracy factualist. You're trying to find out how crime, organized crime, really happens. So I would get rid of the FBI, get rid of the CIA, replace the FBI with a national anti-organized crime organization. Say what you're supposed to be doing, not just go around persecuting people because they dated a black guy. You know the girl from Paint Your Wagon? The FBI drove her to suicide. The good-looking gal in Paint Your Wagon? You aware of that?
I don't know, Mike, but go ahead. Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, the good-looking gal that Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin, former Marine World War II, were going after Lee James Seberg. Jane Seberg?
Yeah, I'm
think just thinking
right.
About her body. She looks good. But anyway, they drove her to suicide. The FBI COINTELPRO people drove her, Jane Seberg, to suicide. Yeah, because she dated a black guy. To which I say, if black guy can please you, then I need to do something. Gene Seberg was hot. But anyway, that's immoral. I do not believe a man should ever hit a woman, let alone murdering them. That's why the FBI should be pulled in those guys. Oh, but that was in the past. No, they're doing that now. They're persecuting. The FBI is being used to persecute people. I know from direct personal experience when I upgraded my security clearance, I found out all kinds of things about me that weren't true. Like I bought a shipping container? No. That I owed a library book and $53 fine? No. I turned the book back. I'm not paying for the book if I'm not going to have the book. They wrote in my security clearance that I was like Pablo Escobar in the security clearance levels. They got level 1, level 2, level 3. They put me level 4 because I didn't return a library book. And then my security clearance upgrade review wasn't signed by anybody. What organization in the U.S. government has reports that are unsigned? It's unheard of. Some housewife did my security clearance and rejected it. And it's only good for 3 years. In other words, a smear job is only good for 3 years. And I told the people, you know, stop listening to the FBI. They're lying about me. You're talking to me. I live here in my body. I know what I did and didn't do. And I didn't do this. Okay? And they said, the FBI said this about you. I have no respect for the FBI. They need to be shut down. Okay?
Well, I think there's
unanimous agreement about that. So you've got all these dirty tricks going on. Yeah, so you got these dirty tricks being done, and it all comes from World War II. During World War II, they did all kinds of sabotage. How come no one's even brought the word up on all these chemical plants and the chemical cars derailing? Sabotage? Anyone? Anyone? Sabotage? You know, like the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Anyone? Sabotage?
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for coming on. Nick was wonderful as long as he was here, and I'm very grateful to you both. Shelley, thank you for a call about what happened at MSU. And I'm just afraid we're being played from every direction. Mike, would you like to close with a final thought?
Yeah, to try to do something positive here. There's three things we can do. Refuse Nick. We can be a dreamer. And then we can be a realist. Now, earlier I said 2 years national service, that's me being a dreamer. You're right, it's probably not going to happen if the Illuminati are in charge. And the refusenik means just don't participate in evil. So obviously you might not want to vote at all in the next election, because then that would show the contract, the social contract is broken between the American people and the election.
Mike, I agree. I agree about the national service. It was your reconstruction of the United States into two different countries that I took exception to. Thank you for being here, Mike. Wonderful stuff. Everyone, spend as much time as you can with your friend and family, those you care and love, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence is...